T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe, on WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no, gotta go to Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe. 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM, Joe and
All right, 10:03 on Fan, and a very good Thursday morning to you. The midday show, Joe Benigno, Evan Roberts, 877-337-6666 is the phone number. We're here, of course, the 1 o'clock CMB. Will come your way, Dolph Kramer, Ernie Acosta, on the other side of the glass. And I know my partner is delirious today.
I am delirious this
after
time.
After this double overtime win last night.
One overtime win,
I should say. Seemed like double overtime, the way they came back. With 11 down late in the fourth quarter to tie the game up, with Dinwiddie going delirious with three threes and all of that. But what is going on with the Nets? I mean, they're at 500 now. They've won 15 of the last 20. They've had some huge wins. Maybe this is the biggest win of all with the way they came back the way they did. I mean,
this was the most improbable of them all.
I think it's the most impressive. When you're down 11 in the last minute and a half, whatever, on the road, and you win this game?
Yeah,
that's unbelievable.
Joe, those were the games during the 8-game losing streak they were blowing. That was the losses that they were getting. They were blowing these ridiculous leads. They were down 14 with 5 minutes to go. They were down 11 with two and change to go. And what was so stunning about it wasn't just, they're down 11 with 2 minutes to go, they must have hit a bunch of threes, which they did. The Rockets kept hitting daggers. So they got it within five with a minute and change to go, and P.J. Tucker hit a three to make it eight. And it's like, okay, well, that was cute. You know, they made a nice run.
They made it
interesting. They kept hitting daggers. Even after James Harden actually gets called for an offensive foul, maybe for the first time in NBA history, he was called for an offensive foul. Even then, I think that was before Tucker hit that backbreaking three. It was remarkable. It was truly, truly remarkable. And Spencer Dinwiddie's going to get all the attention, and he should, because he was going through that slump for four or five games. And then all of a sudden, in the final 5 minutes of this game, he was Superman. I mean, Joe, he's hitting threes all over the place.
He hit three threes, in the last 90 seconds of the game to tie it up?
And then what I loved is after he does hero ball, which he had to do in the final minute of the fourth quarter in overtime, he's just taking it to the basket.
Yeah.
And in overtime, Joe, again, they're down
by seven. I know.
With a minute and a half to go.
No, it's an unbelievable win. There's something going on there with the Brooklyn Nets right now. I mean, I don't know. Obviously, there's no superstars on this team. And, generally in the NBA, you got to have that big superstar guy. They got a lot of really solid players, though. I mean, and everybody is contributing. Jared Allen had a big game. What did he go, 20-24 last night?
He had a 20-20 last night. Yeah,
I mean, that's...
With more blocks, he blocked James Harden. Right, so his resume of guys he's blocked continues to be insane.
Right.
He's blocked Giannis. He's blocked LeBron. He's blocked James Harden.
Yeah.
He's blocking everybody.
No, I know.
Anthony Davis is on that list.
Yeah, they are playing terrific basketball. I mean... Like, nobody saw this coming. Let's be honest.
I didn't see it coming.
They looked like they were on their way to the lottery. What were they, like 8-17?
8-18.
8-18.
They had lost 8 in a row.
Right, and then they won 8 in a row.
Yeah, well, 7 in a row.
7 in a row, but now it's 15 out of 20.
Yeah, it's crazy because when they fell to 8-18 after their loss to Oklahoma City, I was entering Nick fan territory
Let's get in the lottery.
Yeah, blanket. This season isn't going anywhere.
Right.
This has been frustrating. And hopefully they get lucky and they win the lottery. And it all began randomly on a Friday night against the Raptors in a game in which they were very fortunate to win.
Right.
Fred Van Fleet missed a wide open three at the buzzer. Kawhi missed a good look down the stretch. They somehow beat the Raptors. And I remember walking out of Barclays saying, that's nice. Feels good to finally get a win. I am mortified with excitement that they have somehow won 15 out of 20, because even when the 7-game winning streak ends, my fear, I have this in baseball all the time, when your winning streak ends, is now normalcy hits. Well, normalcy hasn't hit. They've played really good basketball since then, And to go to Houston, and I know they're without Chris Paul, they're without Clint Capella. Guess what? The Nets are without Caris LeVert.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who's their best player,
right?
In my humble opinion. They're still without Jared Dudley, which is a little bit of a blow because he is a veteran leader on the court. To win a game like this, it's almost like all those losses that were killing me 2 months ago, a month and a half ago, that they really learned from them. I don't know if they win a game like this on the road, down by 11 with 2 minutes to go, down by 7 again in overtime. I don't know if they win this game if they don't go through that experience, mm-hmm. the painful experience of the 8-game losing streak. And I'll tell you this, I'm going to name a guy that 97% of the audience has never heard of, and it's fine. You shouldn't have heard of him. Travion Graham. What a freaking performance by this guy.
Yeah, what about, I got to be honest with you. Until last night, I didn't hear of him. I got to tell you.
You know what he was shooting going into last night's game?
I saw that, like 11% or something from three?
Yeah, and he's a good defender. That's what I'll give him.
Right.
But Kenny Atkinson, who I – look, Kenny, all right?
We're going to have Kenny on. Man, what's going on? Let's go.
Kenny, you're my guy.
We got to have Kenny on. You should be on today.
Coach of the year, Kenny Atkinson.
Should we get Kenny on today?
Ask Kenny what he's doing. I got a few things to say.
We
got to
get Kenny Atkinson on.
Mostly complimentary, but he is stuck with Travion Graham. There are these guys he falls in love with. Not only did Graham try to defend James Harden as best as he could last night, he started hitting shots, and he had one of the biggest offensive rebounds you'll have after a Jared Allen miss on an N1, which led to the Dinwiddie N1, which gave the Nets the lead and the freaking win. Mm. So when you say they're getting contributions from everyone, Damare Carroll,
what a
great vet he's been the last 2 years.
Joe Harris. Yep.
And think about this, and this you could take this as a negative. You could take it however you want. D'Angelo Russell did not play in overtime, did not play in the final 7 minutes of this game.
He had a very pedestrian game. What do you have, like 10 points? He only played about 27 minutes, I think.
10 points and 7 assists. And we've seen this a lot from Kenny where he just he plays the hot guy, if you will, the guy with the hot hands down the stretch of games. And this is a small thing. What I loved is that D'Angelo Russell thinks he's an all-star, and he's had a very good year. He's sitting there on the bench screaming and yelling, jumping up and down, having a great time. There's a lot of guys in the NBA that would not be happy about this.
Well, they're buying in. I mean, you know, it might have took a little while, but they're buying into what Kenny Atkinson is selling. I give Marks a lot of credit for some of the moves he's made that are, you know, certainly seem to be working out. Let's be honest about it. You know, I mean, just even the guys he's drafted. I mean, you know, look at a guy like Jared Allen, late first round pick. He's turning out to be a pretty damn good player. You got to be happy, man. They look like right now, at the very least, a legitimate playoff team in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah,
that's what they look like.
I'm trying my best not to think about where this is going because I really don't know. It's been the tale of three seasons, if you will. The first chunk of the year, the first 16 games.
But they finally
got
to 500. I mean,
I know.
What, 23 and 23
now?
Yeah,
they finally got there. This is the latest they've been at 500 or the first time they've been 500 in January since the first year in Brooklyn. They eventually got over 500 the second year in Brooklyn, the Paul Pierce KG year.
Right,
but remember,
they
got off to a very bad start.
Right.
But it's really been the tale of 3 years. They got off to a very solid start. And then they had the losing streak. They lost Caris LeVert right before the losing streak. And now this part of the season where they're 15-5 in their last 20 games and they've beaten a lot of good teams.
Very good teams.
You know, it's not like they're just beating up on the bottom of the Eastern Conference.
Well, you even said, you know what? They got a real tough stretch now coming up. They're going to Toronto. They got to play the Celtics. They got to go to Houston. You take one out of three. Well, you got two out of three.
I know.
So you got to be absolutely thrilled. Now you got to be thrilled. You're a Net fan right now. You got to be very happy.
I think we're all through the moon, and I don't know where the expectations now go because I think coming into this year, I didn't think they'd be a playoff team. I wanted improvement. That's what I wanted. I wanted improvement from the
year
before.
Well, now you want a playoff team. Now the way they're playing, not only you want to be a playoff team, you want to move up the ladder as far as you can go.
Hell yeah! I mean,
where are they, six right now?
They're tied for six with Miami. The more they win, the more you're going to daydream, especially with the way they've played against some of these better teams in the NBA. I know Boston didn't have Kyrie a few days ago, but they got to the Eastern Conference Finals without Kyrie last year.
Right.
So it's incredible. I tell you the other thing, and I know you probably didn't watch a lot of this game, but the Houston Rockets, the way they play basketball, is very tough to watch sometimes. You know, you think
it's all Harden throwing shots up. Well, what else is it? If he's not even getting an assist on his shots,
They took 105 shots
last night.
Didn't
they take 70 threes last night?
Yeah, they took
73 threes.
But
that's unbelievable.
But I got to get, and I don't want to call this analytics. I want to do this thing called math. Just hear me out on this, on why D'Antoni and the Rockets do this and a lot of teams do it. Because I was doing the calculation this morning thinking, okay, if you take 70 shots, and they only had 23 of them, that's not a great percentage.
No.
33%. If you take the same amount of shots, but they're not threes, they're twos, How many of those twos do you have to hit to equal
23
of 70?
Look,
and the answer is you got to hit half your shots.
Yeah.
So they're basically playing the math game. That's what they're doing.
Well,
they're saying,
look,
we can shoot 33% from three.
The league is all about the threes. Now, I mean, look, do I love it? No, I got to be honest. As a guy that's, you know, watched basketball since the 60s and, you know, has a certain way of looking at the NBA, this is not the NBA I grew up watching. Now, it's a different world than it was, but this is the way the game is now. So I understand, you know, hey, look, if I take 70 threes and, like you said, I only hit 30% of them, I'm still doing better than if I'm shooting 50% from the two-point range. So I get what you're saying about that. I understand.
But you know what? There's a difference between the way the Golden State Warriors and the Brooklyn Nets and many other teams in this league approach it as compared to the Rockets. The Rockets are chucking up threes.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Most of them,
right.
Joe, are in no rhythm whatsoever.
I understand.
I like to think, not all the time, certainly in the last minute.
How many threes did Nets take last night?
I would guess like over 33.
Okay.
I'd have to guess.
Okay. What's the league average now for threes in a game?
My
is that
God.
Where it is?
It's way
is it
up.
The 30s?
Yeah, I think that's right around the average. They took 36 threes
36.
Last night.
36.
So the combined amount of threes attempted broke an NBA record. It was the most threes ever attempted
that,
in the game.
106?
Yeah,
70 and 36 is 106.
But I like to think that some of the threes, or most of the threes the Nets are taking, are in a rhythm of a game, like Spencer Dinwiddie driving.
No, I understand what you mean.
Three.
Right.
Bro, I'm telling you, I watched this entire game. A lot of them are just dribble, 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 chuck.
Throw it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dribble, dribble, dribble,
no,
chuck.
No, look, I understand.
There's so many of those. And at the end of this game, Kenny Atkinson did what he had to do. He sent doubles on James Harden and said, I am going to force Gerald Green to beat me, P.J. Tucker to beat me, John Nunnally or whatever the heck his name is, but force him to beat me. And down the stretch of this game, they didn't beat him.
No.
That's what it came down to.
Well, Green had to look at the end. That was kind of an off-balance shot anyway. It was a tough shot.
For some reason at that moment,
you were
I was
you thought it was going down, right?
I was actually confident.
Oh, you were?
I figured
Joe. Because I know, but you know, I would be like, oh, you know, he's going to make this shot because that's my mentality.
Well,
but you were confident he was going to miss the shot.
Because
it was a very tough shot from the corner off balance.
It was
so.
A tough shot, and they had just been down 7 with a minute and a half to
right,
go.
Right,
I
right.
can't tell you how many times last night I accepted the loss. I said, all right,
no,
well,
I'm sure.
It's
I
not
get
happening
it.
Tonight.
I get it.
Just a tremendous, tremendous victory. I don't know where this is going. I don't know what the expectation should be. I don't want to sit here and talk crazy like they're winning a championship. But the fact that they have made this kind of run and they win a game like last night, you're damn right I'm ecstatic.
No, you should be.
And Net fans know, owe nobody an apology for being ecstatic.
Right now, your two winter teams, you got to be thrilled. Between the Nets, the Islanders, I mean, both of them are playing just terrific terrific right now.
No
both
doubt.
Of them.
Islanders are playing great. They're in a playoff spot. They're at the Coliseum tonight against the New Jersey Devils.
Yes, I know. I know.
So,
that.
Yeah, it's a good time to be an Islander Net fan. It's a little different with the Rangers and Knicks.
Well,
it's more about the future at this
different.
Point.
It's a lot different. There's no doubt about it. It's a lot different. And Knicks, of course, are in London today.
They are. They got a nice
3 o'clock
late afternoon game against the Washington Wizards.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.